Episode 86, The Lost Tools of Learning Were Never Lost.
Welcome to the Principles in Practice podcast. This is where we discuss biblical principles for life and learning. I'm your host, Heather Hall, and this is my co-host,
Brian Hall.
Welcome to the show, everybody. In 1947, Dorothy Sayers gave a speech to Oxford University students and faculty titled The Lost Tools of Learning. In this now popular speech, she asserts that the tools of learning had been lost and that they needed to be restored. What are these lost tools which she refers to? They are the trivium, grammar, logic, and rhetoric. But were they ever really lost? Can any form of classical education claim them as classical? Grammar, logic, and rhetoric are attributes of mankind. We are naturally wired with these three attributes by God's design. As such, they function together as a part of developing the whole individual. They don't function separately, and in many classical models of education, they are treated as though they function separately. So to begin with, we're going to build our grammar. For this, as many of you know, we use Webster's 1828 Dictionary of the English Language. Grammar, defined by Webster, is letter to write. In practice, the art of speaking or writing a language with propriety or correctness according to established usage. As a science, grammar treats of the natural connection between ideas and words and develops the principles which are common to all languages. Now we're going to go ahead and take a look at the keyword speak that is within the definition of grammar. Speak is to utter words or articulate sounds as human beings, to express thoughts by words. So, of course, the art of speaking involves vocabulary. And as a part of developing vocabulary, children build a word bank that helps them to put into practice over time the art of speaking and writing. Now let's go ahead and define the word logic. Logic is from reason and to speak. It's the art of thinking and reasoning justly. Logic is the art of using reason well in our inquiries after truth and the communication of it to others. So speech begins with our thoughts, then it eventually develops into spoken or written words. We can see this in the intelligence of an infant as he or she develops into babyhood. Before the baby can say mommy or daddy, the baby will process the thoughts in his or her mind about the differences between father and mother, uses natural law or general revelation, which is God's creation and design, to make sense of these differences, and will pick up grammar because he or she is immersed in a linguistic world. For example, as infants, individuals reason that if they are hungry and cry, they will get milk. For a nursing baby, mother will feed baby at the breast. Baby reasons from God's created design and from experience that it's mommy, not daddy, that can nurse. Now we're going to go ahead and define the word rhetoric. Rhetoric means to read. The primary sense of it is to drive or to send. So the art of speaking with propriety, elegance, and force. The power of persuasion or attraction, that which allures or charms. We speak of the rhetoric of the tongue and the rhetoric of the heart or eyes. Now, within that definition of rhetoric is the keyword propriety. Let's go ahead and take a look at what the definition of that is according to Webster. Propriety means fitness, suitableness, appropriateness. Since we're on the topic of babies, let's continue with this example. As babies grow and develop, they're able to communicate at their level. It all starts early and develops more as it's nurtured throughout their lives. the nature of logic and rhetoric is fit for usefulness in life. My husband and I were at an event, and an individual who is a proponent for the Christian classical education, specifically the trivium model, as it's taught in its separate parts by levels, gave the following as an example of logic and rhetoric. From the podium, she asks, "What do John the Baptist and Winnie the Pooh have in common?" There's a pause. And after some silence, she states, "Most people say a honey pot is what they have in common, but John the Baptist didn't have a honey pot. What John the Baptist and Winnie the Pooh share is the same middle name." So some chuckles moved around the room, and the speaker then proclaims that the laughter was rhetoric, which was feedback that they're applying logic because they understood the joke. Well, that's a cute joke, and even though they didn't share a honey pot as a commonality, another answer could be that they both ate honey. That aside, I sat there wondering, how is that useful for equipping Christians how to reason from the truths of God's word, which would be logic? And laughter does give feedback, but that isn't the same thing as rhetoric by definition. How does the speaker reason that laughter is rhetoric? Well, classical education cannot claim grammar, logic, and rhetoric. So that means that the lost tools of learning, quote unquote, were never lost. In conclusion, since the tools of learning are natural attributes that God has given individuals, they were never lost. They may go unused, or they may be misused or misapplied, but they certainly have never been lost. A biblical classical education uses and properly applies the tools for learning in these ways. The biblical classical way of learning shapes the heart and mind of individuals by building on how they naturally develop. God has created us in His image with the ability to learn how to think. We begin in the early years by teaching the whole child. Your child builds a rich vocabulary, which is the grammar, by defining words with a biblical worldview via Webster's 1828 dictionary. They also learn how to reason from the truths of God's word, His principles, in each subject, which is the logic. And they practice critical thinking and problem solving through writing and discussions, which is rhetoric. And they do this at their level. All three of these are done at the same time because our children are whole, and this is how whole learning looks. So therefore, it's unlike the trivium where children K through 12 put grammar, logic, and rhetoric into practice according to three different age groups. Education is discipleship, and if you want to learn how to teach the whole child with the biblical classical way, we have the Biblical Classical Homeschool Experience membership through principledacademy.com. This is where we disciple and mentor parents in how to take ownership of their own education and their child's education. You'll meet with like-minded parents and enjoy community. It's specifically designed for the Christian homeschool lifestyle. I look forward to seeing you in there. All right. Well, thanks for listening, and we'll talk with you soon.
As always, if you're looking for additional resources or support, you can visit our website at principledacademy.com, check out our shop and our blog, and you can also find us on Facebook at Christian Homeschooling with Bible Principles, also on Instagram under Principal Academy. Thanks so much for joining us.
All right. Well, this is Heather Hall.
And this is Brian Hall.
For Christ and His glory.